Thank you, Benny. Thank you. Asante sana. I realize that there would be one or two people here that speak Swahili. Anybody who speaks Swahili here? Oh, yes, my sister from Tanga, Tanzania. Jambo. Habari za leo. Mambo ni mazuri, eh? Hallelujah. I'm just trying to find my bearing. And my brother from Congo. Habari za Congo. Karibuni sana bana. Nashukuru. Amen. I thought there was a sister from Kenya here. Where is she? She's not here. Huh? Kenya or Uganda? Uganda, God bless you. Hallelujah. All right. Which team lost the match yesterday in hockey? Huh? We're going to have 1 minute silence. Bunny, I learned all this from you. I'm so glad to be here tonight. My name's George Gichana. I come from Kenya. For those of you that would be interested to know where we are located, we come from a town of about 350,000 people called Eldoret. Eldoret is very famous because anytime you see somebody in Boston Marathon or Chicago or New York, if it's a Kenyan winning, you can always be sure they come from the Rift Valley, more particularly from Eldoret. And I'm serious about it. Now, I'm a married man. I have a wife, lovely wife. We have two boys, David and Daniel, and a daughter by the name Esther. These children are wonderful. They love the Lord. My son is a lawyer by profession. The other one has dance, psychology, counseling, and Bible. And they are serving the Lord. They are into praise and worship. And my daughter has just graduated from my school. You know, if you remember that little girl, David, you have been to Kenya. When she went to high school, she found herself leading in a high school, taking care of the spiritual affairs of 700 girls. And it is something that humbles us to know that God is at work. I've known Bernie for a few years. I regard him as an apostle, a father, a leader of leaders, a man we hold with very high esteem. And when we met in Uganda, he said, "Can you come over to Canada? Come and share." I wasn't sure, but I said, "Okay, we'll give it a go." So I came and I found myself in Winnipeg. It was cold, 5 degrees. And then in the night, it was sometimes -1, -2. But I survived. And I'm here. The weather in Vancouver is good. We went through a very bad experience in Kenya at the beginning of 2008. Our country went into the general elections, and then there was a crisis. The results were disputed. And we were very close to a civil war. We lost 1,300 people. Lots of houses were burned, vehicles destroyed, properties. There was a church around Eldoret where I live and I work. Oh, I think we had about 35 people die. They were locked up in a building. People threw petrol bombs. And lives were lost. I was held up in my house for 10 days. It was very, very, very difficult. But we came out and the Lord rescued us. The rest of it, I don't want to give the details, but I want to say, if you trust in the Lord God, the Lord will rescue you. The Lord will save you. I know I'm talking to Canadians, people in North America, brothers and sisters. I want you to know that I come from Africa, Kenya. And I will display shortly how we do it in Kenya. Hallelujah. How many of us want to be used of God? You are serious? Do you know what you are asking for? You want God to use you? You're serious? That's where we begin. Just put your hand on your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to say it with power. Lord Jesus, send your power. Send your spirit into my life. Change me right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just pause for a while. What will happen if the power of God came upon you? What will remain of you? Would you be able to walk out of this place and still talk the way Canadians talk and Americans and Africans? What really will happen if the power of God came upon you? What kind of life will you live? You know, we need to be prepared. Let's not just read things. Let's not just say things. Let's get prepared to be used of God. My brother taught the word in the morning and it touched me deeply. I was so consumed in what he was saying. And I was crying, I was saying, Lord, in this conference, may you come. Just show a little bit of yourself. Let's not just say it was a wonderful exposition. When my brother took us to Ephesians, and I was not there, but I'm told David did a good work. And last night, Bunny blew me up, you know. It stirred my heart. I went to bed. And this morning I woke up, I was praying, Lord, have I had an experience with you? And I just want to share a little bit of that before I go into what I want to share. I was born in a background where people were not, they were not Christians. They prayed to anything. I was raised up in a background where God maybe was in a rock or in a mountain or a river or some big stone or some snake. But thank God for the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. They sent their missionaries to the village. And as early as 1957, I had an encounter with the missionaries from Canada. Alberta, Toronto, I think those places. So they came and built a school in the village. And my uncle was a school teacher. And I remember the general secretary of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada coming to the village. And he looked at me as a small boy. And he said, in one of these places here, a preacher is soon to emerge. That's what I was told. That's what he said. So years later, I gave my life to the Lord. It was a very powerful experience. It's good to share testimony. Sometimes we preach, and it's good to give your life testimony because it has power. 1970, 18th of December, I walked into a meeting where somebody was preaching. And as I listened, the Holy Spirit of God arrested my attention. I remember going forward and giving my life to the Lord. I cried and I wept. Heaven was open for me. Jesus came into my life. I knew for sure that my sins were forgiven that night. And I received a very powerful baptism into the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in a new language. January the 6th, 1971, I went to Bible school. I was so passionate. Bunny, you talk about having a passion for God. That is it. I went to Bible school. And in the month of March, 1971, in our classroom, somebody's teaching us. He was talking about the life of Jesus from the Gospels. Suddenly, that teacher disappeared. And I want you to listen carefully to what I'm explaining. As that teacher disappeared, Jesus stood in front of the classroom. His hands were stretched out. He never said a thing. But I thought I saw where the nails went through. The eyes of Jesus were so powerful. I thought I was going to die. As I share with you this experience, it is as if it happened yesterday. I ran out of that classroom literally to the prayer room. It was on a Wednesday in the morning, about 10 o'clock. When I got to the prayer room, I did not pray. I don't want to cheat you. And those young people that are here, and anybody that is here, you want to be used of God, you must have an encounter with God. God must come into your life. In one way or the other. And it comes to us in many ways. Through music, through the word, through a prophetic word, through a vision, through a trance, through some encounter. You may go through a road accident and survive. And as you come out, you will see the power of God. I dropped down. I was there. I was not praying. But deep within me, I knew I was praying. Waves and waves and waves of God's power went through me. And I was there. I lost trace of time. When I woke up, it was about 10 o'clock in the night. Everything was quiet. There was nobody around. So I did not walk. I want to tell you. I don't want to lie to you. I did not walk to the dormitory. I crawled. And when I got there, I knocked. Somebody opened for me. I did not go to my bed. I went under the bed. I was there the whole night. With visions and the presence of God. Thursday came. I went back to the prayer room. I was there the whole day. Came back to the dorm. Friday came, I went back to the prayer room. And Saturday came, I never even tasted water. What I saw, I don't have words to explain with human tongue. I don't have enough literature. I don't have the English that I can be able to explain what I went through. But what I know, I met the Lord. It was Sunday morning when I tasted water. And I remember the president of the Bible college asking me, do you want to go home? Are you sick? You know, when people have not heard what you have heard, they think you are nuts. I said, I'm not going home. What I've gone through here is powerful. The Bible became alive. The songs became alive. When I was reading scriptures, it's like fire was getting out of those scriptures to my life. We closed the school. I went home. And I found out that there was an outbreak of a disease in the village where children were dying. Measles. So I went from one home to the other. I found another place. There was a dead boy. Another place. There was another one who was about to die. I grabbed him and I prayed in the name of Jesus. I dropped him on the ground. I went to the next home and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Some died and others lived. But there is one case I handled and never forget. This boy, I found him fitting. You know? He was dying. And I remember saying, you spirit of death, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Come out of this boy. It helps to pray sometimes in strength and authority. Those of you that have been policemen, you know how you speak in authority at times. Or if you are commanding a parade, you just don't say small things, you know. If it is a parade and the people are there, you want everybody to get together, you say, parade, station! Everybody gets together. You shout. And there are times we need to give that voice to the devil. Can the Canadian say hallelujah? Yes? Why do you think the children of Israel shouted at times to win war? Why do you think there was a blast in Jericho so that the walls came down? Anyway, that boy lived. He's a married man. He has children today. And we want to thank God. That's my simple little experience. I've had another experience with the Lord. 1986, where I went into prayer and fasting for 14 days. It was an awesome experience. Father, may you remove the desire for food out of our lives when you want to talk to us. May you take us to your secret place so that we may discover you. Father, may we get to know you a little bit more personally than we have known you in the past. And that's my prayer and that's my desire. Every one of you lift up your hands tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over the power and the prince of the air that is governing in this region and in this area. Satan, we address your power. We command you, loose your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Anything that is holding on to the people of God, tonight, loose. In the name of Jesus, loose your hold over our minds. Loose your hold over our lives. Father, may you speak to our hearts. Let the river of life come upon us in a new way. Father, cause healings and deliverances to take place. I take church by the authority given to us through the name of the Son of the Living God. We declare that, Father, in this conference, the presence of God will be so real. Come upon us. Release us to a new level. Let there be supernatural healings. Let there be deliverances. Let there be the manifestations of the giftings of God. We declare Vancouver for Jesus. We declare Canada for Jesus. We declare North America for Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Can I have one big thunder blasting amen?
You know, let the fire of God consume us. Let the presence of God consume us. I want to talk about brokenness tonight. Isaiah 66, verse number 1 and 2. The Bible says, this is very good, this is very good, this is very good. I thank you, Lord, and I pray that most of our young people that are here, something of the passion of God will grab them. Isaiah 66, verse number 1. Thus says the Lord. What are we reading? We are reading what God is saying. My brother John Isaac, we are reading what God is saying. Thus says the Lord. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look. But on this one I will look. On him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, who trembles at my word. The man and the woman that is going to carry the mantle to lead in spiritual matters in North America and in Africa and to the nations of the world are the people who tremble at the word of God. People that receive the word of God with an openness. People that are available. People that are saying, Lord, whatever you want to do, do it. Let's quickly turn to another place in Matthew, the New Testament, chapter 5, verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in the spirits, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that are poor. Yes, they are thirsting, they are hungry, they are in search of God. They are looking for God. They are crying out. They want to see God. You know, they are tired of materialism. They are tired of secularism. They are tired of organized religion. They are tired of the things, the way they have been done and the way they have been going. They are ready to indulge into God. They are ready to discover God. They are looking for God. When you are that poor, the Bible says, the kingdom of heaven becomes yours. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and that he may exalt you in due time. God is looking for people that are broken. God is looking for people that are dead. God is looking for men and women in North America. God is looking for people in Africa. God is looking for men and women in Southeast Asia that are dead. In John 12, 24, and somebody brought out this word in a word of prophecy. I thought that was good. 12, 24. The Bible says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and it dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Hallelujah. Understanding brokenness. Let me give the definition of that. When we say that one is broken, a sinner born again into the family of God, who is spiritually processed from a crude state to a tender, loving, kind, sensitive, caring, humble, meek, and a godly personality. When I say the Lord has broken me, the Lord has squeezed me. Let me use the contemporary word, when God has killed me. when God has killed me. You cannot only do what you are doing today because God killed you. God killed you. God killed George Gichana. God killed Bunny. Huh? I want to give this definition again. It's a sinner who is born again into the family of God, who is spiritually processed from a crude state to a tender, loving, kind, sensitive, caring, humble, meek, and a godly personality. That's the only Nigerian God will use. That's the only Zambian God will use. You know, I would further go on and say, it is giving the Holy Spirit a complete access. Brokenness is giving the Holy Spirit a complete access and freedom and control over every area of our life, such that we become very pliable in God's hands. We don't need a lot of things. If we just get that definition, we are done. We are done. It's giving the Holy Spirit a complete access. I mean, I don't have my money. I don't have my car. I don't have my house. I don't talk of my education. I don't talk of my family. I've allowed the Holy Spirit a complete access and freedom and control over every area of my life, such that I am very tender in the hands of God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And I think that's what we are doing here. Lord, do it. Hallelujah. Lord, do it. That's what we studied yesterday. That's what has been going on the whole of today. That's what we'll carry on tomorrow. And that's what we'll experience right through Monday. So that when we go back to where we came from, the Holy Spirit has a complete access in every area of our lives. I don't want to cheat you. I don't want to lie to you. I don't want to philosophize. I want to be very simple. As a Kenyan brother, as a believer who believes in the Word of God, amen. 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 This morning I was praying. I was saying, Lord, take this box upstairs, configure it into your own frequency. I was saying, Lord, do a cleanup. You know, I was asking God to sanctify these eyes of mine. Huh? There's so much dirt we pick up on our TV. So much rubbish that is on the internet. Amen? Yeah. I was telling God, this heart of mine, break it, Lord. I don't want to live with an experience of 1970. I want to be up to date. I want to walk with you. I want to know you. I want to experience you. Jesus. You know, as I go praying, I dedicate every organ of my body to the access of the Holy Spirit. And there are organs which have destroyed ministers. There are organs which have destroyed women. Huh? Because they have not come under the complete access of the Holy Spirit. That's why we are talking of certain rights. That's why people are saying, it's my personal choice and decision I made. I was born this, I want to be this. Have you heard of that? It doesn't take place in Canada. Does it? Ah? Hello? There is anger, there is bitterness. There are things sometimes which we don't think they are so serious. And yet, they hold us. God wants to turn us around. God wants to use us. But we are so stubborn. We are so held up in that. We are not soft anymore. I ask tonight that the Holy Spirit will touch us again. You ask Wesley, John and Charles Wesley, you ask all those great revivalists that are gone, that build the foundations of Britain and North America. They were broken people. Huh? People that went to do missionary work in China, people that went into the jungles of Africa, people that died for the sake of Christ. Is because they were broken. I may not be able to touch you, but why don't we pray this? You know, as I preach, I break a little bit and I pray. Just put your hand on your head and say, Lord Jesus, break my life. Lord Jesus, touch my life again. I ask you to bend me into your own direction. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pause for a while. I'm sure we believe God hears prayer. Amen. I know we have got professionals here. I know we have business people here. I know we have intellectuals here. I want to say this. God only uses dead people. Huh? God is looking for corpses which he can resurrect and then put his own materials into them and send them out. And I want to say to Jesus tonight, here I am. Lord, send me. I've come a long way. As an African, I've had to deal with the tribal spirits. I've had to deal with culture. I've had to deal with a certain mentality to come into Christ-like nature. And this comes because of this book and prayer and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to me directly. Amen. 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 When I'm broken, it enables God and his access into my life to reveal the tares from the wheat. Because we may be around, oh yes, brother, yeah, we are in the team, hallelujah. We, you know, we are associate ministers, oh yeah, we sit together as elders. Is it the wheat or is it the tares? And this is why we find conflicts. This is why we find fights. This is why we find tensions. But you know, when I have allowed God, huh? and he has broken me. It gives him an access so that he can remove the tares, so that the wheat can be seen. Giving God a complete takeover in our lives is a major operation. It's a heart state, not an outward show. Outwardly, I may learn the Christian words like, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven, Jesus is good, God is good, the weather is lovely here, Vancouver is fantastic, we are praying, you know. But when we are touched in our innermost being, sometimes it is tears, it's weeping. People wonder, what happened to this giant? What happened to this man that was radical? What happened to this Canadian? He has met with Jesus in a very powerful manner. And I think most of the things that I've seen in my life, it goes back to what I had 1971 in the month of March. That was an awesome experience. Of course, it took me into the Word. It has made me to become a follower and a love slave of Jesus. You know, when I'm broken, I discover this is the real source of spiritual power. I will cast out the devils when I'm broken. Hallelujah. It's a source of real spiritual power. Spiritual power doesn't come in a theological seminary. It doesn't come because I was singing and I was dancing. But when I'm broken, there is a dimension I touch. There is something God releases into me. That is where the real source of power is. Sometimes it is painful and humiliating. Jesus left the throne of glory to come to earth. Hallelujah. He came, carried by a human being for 9 months. Lived on planet earth. Died for our sins. He was mocked, stripped. He died. But he rose powerfully. The source of really power is in brokenness. Lord Jesus, break me tonight. Lord Jesus, do it again in my generation. Lord Jesus, open somebody's eyes to see this. You know, when we talk of brokenness, it's a total annihilation of self and totally enthroning God in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Myself is totally annihilated. Praise the name of Jesus. And totally I enthrone God in my life. You know, a few moments ago I made some statements and somebody was wondering, why is that Kenyan pastor saying what he's saying? I don't have a car, the car belongs to the Lord. I don't own a house, it belongs to the Lord. I don't have anything. If anything I have, it's because of the grace of God. If you agree with me, you better say amen. I'm only a steward. I'm only a vessel. I'm only an instrument. And I will live here for a very short time anyway. So I can't say, well, I'm a millionaire, I'm a billionaire, I have a lot of money, I control Canada, I control Kenya. No. And you know, sometimes when you see somebody touching something, oh, you are touching my stuff, man, you are touching my resources. There is something of brokenness that has not been done. Amen. Ah, that's too hard, Brother George. But anyway, what can I teach you? What did Jesus say? If you want to follow him, take up his cross and follow him what? Daily. Die daily. die daily.
Huh? If I walk around, you know, I'm snorting around. In James chapter 4, verse number 6, grace is given to the humble. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, I bring this body under subjection. You know, when the flesh is not crucified, when the flesh has not been killed, when that self has not been killed, Ishmael will be the result. But you know what? As we indulged in the word in the morning out of 1 John chapter 2 and chapter 1, and as we went into Ephesians, I discovered that we were renewing our strength. And the flesh continues to die. Isaiah 40 verse number 41. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40:31. But those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, they shall not be weary. They will walk and they will not faint. Friends, as we wait on the Lord in the process of being broken, the word of God says we shall renew our strength. The church will be awakened. The Spirit of God will begin to move in us. We shall mount up with wings as eagles. God likens us when we have died. He resurrects us. He gives us the power. We become the eagles that are able to see very far. The eagles that are able to fly above the storms of life. The eagles that are able to beat their feathers on the rock. And they are able to grow new feathers again. The eagles that are able to run fast and they are not going to faint. That's what God is doing. I've come to tell the church in North America. Wait upon the Lord, you shall renew your strength. You better say amen. Amen. You shall mount up with the wings as the eagles. You shall run and you will not be weary. God is talking of a running anointing. Yes, he's talking of a running anointing. A running anointing. A running anointing. And when we walk, we shall not faint. I want to declare to the vices and to the forces and to the spirits that think they can destroy the church. The church is stronger than before. Somebody say amen. The powers of humanism and the socialism and materialism will not kill the church of Jesus Christ. The church is becoming stronger. The church is being awakened. God is raising a new church, a church of power and a church of force. Can somebody say amen? Amen. When I'm broken, I'm dead to myself. Dead to self. You know, dead people, you never beat them up. You can't abuse them. They can't go to watch soccer, can they? Huh? Dead people never smoke. Dead people are not involved in illicit relationships. Ephesians 4:22, put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitive lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There is something of dying. Lord, kill me. That's a dangerous prayer to pray, but I think we need to pray it. Amen. We need to put on the whole man. Paul says in Philippians 3:10. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians 3:10. This is what he says. that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I may know him. He's talking of an experience with him. The Lord has killed him. The Lord has destroyed him. He has known him and the power of his resurrection. He's dead, but the power that raised Jesus from the dead has now lifted him up. And that's why he says in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Even the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith through the Son of God that has loved me. Hallelujah. There is no African in me. It's Jesus. You come to a place where you say there's no Canadian in me. It is Jesus. Hallelujah. There's no American in me. It is Jesus. Excuse me, today we preach a gospel which is user friendly. We don't want to offend the people, eh? We want the people to come. But the people need to know the price they will pay to be followers of Jesus. The Lord is going to ask us to drop homosexuality, lesbianism, drugs, alcohol, witchcraft, materialism, racism, bigotry, tribalism in Africa, corruption. The Lord is going to ask us to drop the things I call mine. I remember years ago listening to Dr. Bill Graham. I think it must have been in the 50s. I was watching a film where he said, I ask you to receive Christ and you must come and receive him openly. But there is a price you have to pay. He's going to ask you to drop your boyfriend. He's going to ask you to put off the drugs. He's going to ask you to leave yourself and come and receive him. It is not going to be easy, but this is the challenge you can take. Then Christ and his cross can be exciting. You know, theologians have been killing the Bible. Huh? They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in the resurrection. They are telling us, if you talk about the cross, you are offending the people. Huh? You are interfering with the people's emotions. But the Jesus you saw, and the Jesus I saw, is a powerful Jesus. When we sing choruses like, take the whole world, but leave me Jesus. What does that mean? It means I have nothing. Hallelujah. And God is talking to somebody here tonight. God is breaking somebody here tonight. God is challenging somebody here tonight. God is killing somebody here tonight. And some pastor here, some leader here, some believer here is going to drop off something, and the Lord is going to use you. Amen. Young people, it's much more than having a nice time of coffee together. There's a passion. I like the way Danny puts it. You know, that passion is the inner fire. Huh? I met this man, George Bauer, you know, when we came to England. Oh, that man terrified me. That man consumed me. That man ate me up. And I've read almost every book that he has ever written. That's what you call passion. Karl Marx was able to take the world because he had a passion for communism. We have a greater passion. We have a greater calling. We have a greater thing to die for.
We have something bigger than what the young people are doing in the Middle East when they put themselves up with bombs and they blow themselves up. Jesus is greater than a political opinion and a position. Can somebody say hallelujah? Ah! Brokenness is a pathway of life. Into the things of God? Yes. What my brother was teaching in the morning. What I picked out of the book of Ephesians. If I want to know the things of God, let me be broken. Take my eyes, take my hands, take my feet, take my body. Let it be yours. That is the key. Somebody say amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. That's the key. That's the key. That's what will drive you crazy for Rwanda. That's what will push you for Burundi. That's what will send you to China. That's what will make you stand out in Cuba, get arrested, put in prison, and suffer for Jesus if you have to suffer. When you are broken, you have nothing. That's the pathway. That is the narrow road that you'll walk into. And I hear the voices of the saints that have gone ahead of us. They have walked on this road. You can read them in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. There is a price they paid to belong into that hall of fame. Canada, awake for Jesus. America, be resurrected to the reality and to the claims of Christ by being broken. The new generation that will shake the world with the claims of Jesus Christ is a broken generation. Being broken is a total shattering of dependence on human strength and ability. Totally, you are shattered. Yes. Philippians 3, 6 and 7. Concerning the seal persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness, which is the law, blameless, but whatsoever things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Paul swallowed his pride. Whatever he might have accumulated in his culture, whatever he might have collected from the universities of the day, whatever names he might have carried, whatever things he had religiously, politically and socially, he counted them but a loss for the excellency of knowing Jesus Christ. I wish I could open your heart and pour it to you. There is something about this man called Jesus. Young man, he arrests your attention for the rest of your life. You'll have no other story to tell. It will be his story. Ah. Lord, clean our eyes out of materialism. Lord, clean our minds out of humanism. Cleanse us out of secularism. Deliver us from religious organizations of the day and the clutter of the day, that we may know you. Whatever things were gained to us, may we count them but rubbish. Hallelujah. Once again, put your hands on your heart and say, Lord Jesus, touch me again. Say it again with passion. Lord Jesus, touch me again. You see, you are not depending on your human strength and human ability. Now, I'm not saying that we don't go to school. Young people, go ahead, read, become professors, read, but serve Christ. Get your engineering degrees. Do whatever you want to do. But serve the Lord. There is something greater. There is something deeper. There is something of the riches of this man called Jesus. Oh, the African boy has tested him. Oh, the African boy got all of this man. Jesus has consumed me. And I'm so infectious. I want to pass him on to you. Somebody say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Ah! Somebody say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Being broken, he's going for a major operation. There was a time I ran into a problem. And I was taken to the hospital. I discovered they had to remove all my clothes. And they put me on their own clothing. They put me on a stretcher. Then they took me into this room where there were very powerful lights and they were talking to me nice and good. But they had put a number of things on me. And I discovered I was getting tender and soft. I was kind of losing myself. Then I think somebody pushed something into me. They said, can you open up your mouth and let me see your teeth. I was gone. I was gone. Do you know when you are on that table, you don't say to the doctor, excuse me, I had some appointment to go downtown at Tim Hortons for some coffee. Please, can you finish up quickly? How many of you know that you don't do that? If they want to be with you for 5 hours, 7 hours, it's all right. Lord, do it. Pastors, may the Lord do it. May the Lord do it. Lord, search me and know me. You know my uprising. You know my sitting down. I may look okay, but I've got some things that I've got to be removed. I've heard of pastors going for assistance because of pornography. I've heard of men of God having missed the mark. They fell morally. I've heard of the servants of God stealing God's money. An old man of 76 years, he had done a great work for the Lord, preached and opened and raised up many leaders, fell a victim with a 24-year-old girl. May the Lord operate on us. Yes. Bunny, our future is dependent on how deep the sergeant's knife has gone into our hearts. Let's not make it simple. Let's tell it the way it is. I remember Billy Graham telling the young people, stop throwing rocks. Bring your rocks to Jesus. He is the rock. Stop dropping acid, LSD, cocaine, marijuana. Come to Jesus for the real experience. Young people need to hear that again. They think there is life in boom, 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 and all the fascination, you know. And finally, being broken, you are in the hands of a potter, and you are the clay. Amen? Pounds you, and whatever he wants to make out of you. Ah.
according to Jeremiah 18, verse 1 to 6. You know, you are shattered, you are destroyed, then you are built. I want to thank God for His word. God will use broken men and broken women, shattered people, people that tremble at His word. I don't know what the Holy Spirit has exposed to you, but I've had people come and say with me, to me, pray with me, I have some sexual issues. I've had us come and say, I've stolen God's money for many years. Can you help me? Another one says, I hate certain people. I can't go through this. Probably the Holy Spirit has arrested you into something. For us to have revival, God will need broken people, shattered people. And I'm number one. I want Him to shatter me tonight. For the remaining moments, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I want you to close your Bible and your notebook. I believe in touching people, but I'm not able to get to every one of you. Some of you are bald-headed. If I touch, my hand may never rest on your head. It will slip over. But you can hold yourself. Hallelujah. Put your hand on your head. It's very unusual. Let's say, Holy Spirit, you have spoken to us. You have spoken to me. I open up my life to you. Lord, there are issues in my life. You know them. I'm asking you to break me through the power of the Holy Spirit in a new way. Change my life. Come upon me now in a powerful way. I surrender myself to you. I am available. Oranaka Santa Kayata Kapam. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oraka Santa Kabarata Kayata Satanaba. As you lay your hand on yourself, just begin to pray. Just begin to pray. Let the Holy Spirit work on you. I don't want you to be quiet. I just want you to pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. You know the condition of your heart. You know your life. You know where you have come from. You know what challenges you encounter. You know the issues that you have got to face. And tonight, let the Holy Spirit take that unusual operation in your life. Let him soften you. Let him tenderize you. Let him work in your life in such a way that even yourself, you will marvel at what God has done. Father, I take authority in the name of Jesus. I pray for the fire of the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to come upon the church, to come upon this congregation, to come upon your servants. Father, you know how much we need to be used of you. Some of us here, Lord, are waiting to take the commission, to take the great commission into places where, Lord, the gospel has not been taken. And anything that is withstanding and withholding the people of God, I break its power tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit that breaks and crushes the people of God and, you know, renews them and changes them to become instruments of God's power in this generation. We are available. We thank you. We bless you. We glorify you. Oh, yes, Lord. We can't run away. We need you. You know us better than we know ourselves. We are available. We are available. Father, renovate our worship. Renovate the way we study the Word of God. Renovate our attitudes. Break those things. Show us those things, Lord, that we have taken for granted. But tonight, smash them. Smash them, Lord. Smash them, Lord. I thank you. And I bless you. I glorify you. I give you praise. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word that has burned into our hearts. Father, thank you for the searchlight of the Holy Spirit that has exposed us bare and naked. We need that cover. We need that cover from you. We need that change. We need that revolution. We just don't want life to be normal. Father, we weep before you. We cry before you. We avail ourselves. We thank you. Use us not only today, not tomorrow. Father, should you tarry years and years, let there be people that will say, that night something hit me. And I know it has taken place in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.